Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, and welcome to A Real Point of View. This is your host, Greg Morgan, and I'm here with my good friend and internet film critic, Mr. Larry Demkowski. And tonight we're going to talk about what we don't talk about too often, and is that's music, right, Larry?
Oh, absolutely. Gotta love music and the movies. They go together like ham and eggs or biscuits and gravy, or peanut butter and jelly.
Yeah, peanut butter and jelly, my favorite. Well, with the Oscars coming up in a few days, actually now, one of the things that's going to be contested on the Oscars is the movie's original song. Now, the original songs have gone goes all the way back to 1934, and each year since then, there's been these wonderful writers out there and lyricists who have put these miraculously beautiful songs together. And there's hundreds and hundreds of songs that are nominated that don't win. But think back, you know, this is going all the way back, as I alluded to 1934. I mean, that's a long time. So what we were looking to do, at least try to do, is go back over as many of the songs as we could find and figure out which ones we actually like the best and try to give you an idea as to which ones we like the best. Maybe talk a little bit about the upcoming duel between films. And I also wanted to mention an icon in music, original music history, momentarily. So did you have a hard time trying to figure out what your favorite song or songs were as far as the original music, Larry?
You know, I got to separate it. You got the original song, and you also have original score. Because sometimes the original, the person who writes the original score also wrote the original song for the film. So I kind of looked at some of the original scores as well. That list is huge as well, there are a lot of wonderful people, wonderful composers, and it's easier, believe it or not, to look at the composers for the original score rather than looking at all the composers for original songs. And I don't know why that is, but it is. It's possible to get it to look up each individual person who is involved with the original song, but it seems to be not as cohesive of a list as the other one. So, but I certainly enjoyed doing my homework this week. I listened to a lot of music.
Yeah.
How about you?
I tried to concentrate just on original song. I'd gone through looking at each one from 1934 all the way up to the current date, I found myself remembering back to the years that probably I paid more attention, which pretty much was the 70s on, and a lot of the different songs. But because you know me, Larry, I've been involved with music since I was a child, so a lot of these songs are still near and dear to my heart, even though they were made years and years ago, and was fortunate enough throughout life to have these different songs presented to me in some form or fashion that I either heard it or, ironically, we sang it in choir. So I have an affinity with a lot of these songs, especially the past songs, pretty much 70s on up, but a lot of the songs in the 60s and 50s as well. So it made it a little bit harder for me to try to even narrow that down. That's a large list. You're talking about years and years.
Well, I couldn't narrow it down to my one favorite. You know, that's a tougher one to do.
Indeed. And I wasn't able to do that either. I kept getting stuck, first of all, and reminiscing so much that took a lot longer time to do this because I was listening to all these old songs and thinking about what I was thinking about at the time when I heard them or what I was doing at the time, how was I at the time, that kind of stuff. And but, again, it was fun to do. So, what was one of your favorite songs, Larry?
Well, I'm going to go get into the Wayback Machine and go to a 1939 and 1940.
Okay.
2 years, 2 years in a row right there where two of my favorite movie songs of all time are back-to-back. In 1939, it's Over the Rainbow in The Wizard of Oz. The music by Harold Allen and lyrics by Yip Harburg. Almost everybody who has ever seen movies in the world knows this song. It's that universal. And then in 1940, music by Lee Harlein and Ned Washington from the movie Pinocchio, When You Wish Upon a Star.
You stole my song, bro. You stole my song. Me and Jimmy Cricket.
Absolutely.
Stole my song.
Absolutely. You know, what an incredible, piece of music, both of them, and it was in an era where Tin Pan Alley was working overtime to get anything on the hit parade, to get anything on a movie, and these two films back to back really just blew it all away. They did such a fantastic job. Over the Rainbow was pretty much a shoe-in the moment that the film opened. When You Wish Upon a Star, not quite. Down Argentine Way, from the movie of the same name, did pretty well as well. And there were a lot more songs nominated. They have very specific rules on songs being nominated for the Academy Award. And as believe it or not, there are some times when they don't have enough songs that have scored high enough on their points to even be nominated. And this has happened a couple of times. I don't know what years they are, it's a real big deal to make sure that the song has enough followings enough people wanting to hear the song, enough people buying the sheet music, enough people buying records for the song to send a song into nomination.
Yeah, indeed. And basically, the Academy rules say that eligible songs must be recorded for use in a motion picture prior to any other usage. So recordings released prior to a film will not disqualify a song as long as the film version was recorded before then. So as long as they record the song before it's utilized another way, then it can be, you know, a part of the Academy Awards system as far as the rules are concerned. So
yeah, now that rule changed it. That rule changed in 1941, after 1941, yeah. Because prior to that, it was as long as the song appeared in the motion picture.
Right.
But in 1941, there was a the song "Last Time I Saw Paris" from Lady Be Good. It was a Oscar Hammerstein and Jerome Kern song, and they won. Well, Kern was upset because the song won because it had been published and recorded before it was used in the film. And the song was actually written in 1940 and not 1941, and then it had the Germans occupied Paris at the start of World War II, and it became a political thing as well. So they changed the rules and said nope, that can't happen. Now its first usage has to be for the film.
Well, as far as I'm concerned, as long as they make it to the film, we get the nomination, we're good to go as far as trying to figure out who's actually going to win this thing.
So how about you? What are some of the songs that you you saw when you first went over deep into the list?
Well, I'm going to jump decade to decade a little bit before I actually say which one I really think is probably the most. As you alluded to, 1940 was When You Wish Upon a Star was one of my favorites. Probably that my favorite of that decade, although White Christmas was another great one back then. In the 1950s, there were two that really hit me the most, and that was Mona Lisa back in 1950, and in 1953, Secret Love. Now, the version that was sung in the movie Calamity Jane was sung by Doris Day, but the version that I liked the most that I've heard, although I liked Doris Day's version, was Johnny Mathis' version of the same song. And both renditions are beautiful. In 1960s, I was a big Andy Williams fan as a small child, and so Moon River probably hit me the most back in the 60s. And the movie The Way We Were with Barbra Streisand and Robert Redford, Robert Redford, that was a really good movie for me. I don't know why that movie always resonates with me. And so the movie song that was of the same title, The Way We Were, it's a beautiful song. That was back in the 70s. In the 80s, loved Officer and Gentleman as a movie, and Up Where We Belong by the late Joe Crocker. Just something about that song that's very uplifting to me. Back in the 80s, kind of a toss-up for me in the 80s. Officer and Gentleman was a great movie. I thought The Lady in Red was a whimsical movie, and Stevie Wonder's I Just Called to Say I Love You. Dirty Dancing was a big deal back then, and I've Had the Time of My Life by the Righteous Brothers. That really resonates with me. In the 90s, Peebo Bryson, great singer as far as I'm concerned, had two hits back then, Beauty and the Beast, music of the same title. And in Aladdin, A Whole New World, all wonderful songs in the 90s as favorites. There were some other great ones back in the 90s. In the 2000s, that's where the music kind of changes a little bit here, retrospective to songs that were previously nominated and winners. A song that I really loved, and it actually really helped make the movie because a lot of these songs do that often, was a movie called 8 Mile with Eminem and the song Lose Yourself. I really like that song. And I'm not a huge rap fan, although I do like some rap music. That was just a poignant song, and it just works so well with the film. And, of course, last year's winner, Let It Go, is I know it's really huge with a lot of little kids, but it's actually a really good song. And, of course, now we're talking about this coming year's song. So I'm really pushing for the song Glory out of the movie Selma. So,
yeah.
You know, and that's only maybe one-tenth of the songs that I loved, or looking at this and researching this and enjoying it like you said you were doing, just going song after song after song. And since you and I both like to sing, you know, it was hard to not just to listen. I was always trying to sing with it, too. So.
Oh, sure. And, you know, if we just talk about the songs that won and then all these songs that didn't win, and some I thought were better songs,
right.
You know, give me a case in point here. Here we go. Now there's a wonderful song, 1950 Mona Lisa, that famous song. But I like a lot better a song called Be My Love from the Toast of New Orleans. To me, that's a much better song. But you know something? You can't argue with who won that year because Mona Lisa is an all-time classic in the hit parade as well. So, a couple of others as well. But the other one I want to say, because I know you know this song really well, 1954, won, the winner of 54 was Three Coins in a Fountain.
Yeah, good song.
You know, you know, and yet, look at, you know, you've got Count Your Blessings instead of Sheep, White Christmas. And since White Christmas had already won, you know, before in a different movie, they couldn't do that one. But also, The High and the Mighty. Now, listen to that. Go back and listen to that music someday. It's really good. If you skip up a little bit, into the 60s, things start getting different. You start getting a lot more popular music in the 60s and not necessarily what people were expecting. You had some real good music happening here, and you're starting to see a different type of composer. You're starting to see a lot more Johnny Mercer composing and a lot less Sammy Kahn composing or Sammy Kahn lyrics. So we're starting to see this big change. You mentioned Moon River from Breakfast at Tiffany's. This is a Johnny Mercer song, a Henry Mancini and Johnny Mercer.
But ironically, that's Sammy Kahn again with Pocketful of Miracles. That was a good song, too.
It is. And it's one of my favorite movies. A lot of people don't realize that movie was made twice, and this is the second time that movie was made. In 1962, you know, with The Days of Wine and Roses, this... I think what makes this song so good is it nails what the film is about. Just totally nails it, and it bites it hard. It's a sad and it's a hard movie, and yet a wonderful movie to watch. And the movie is about the depths one falls into with alcohol.
That's Jack Lemmon, right?
That's right. That's right. And then I'm going to skip a couple years to 1964, huge year. Chim Chim Cheree from Mary Poppins. One is one for best song, and what? And this was huge, and it was a huge thing for the composers Richard Sherman and Robert Sherman, and they influenced a lot of music throughout the '60s as well with their work with Disney. And then 1966 is an important year because that was, even though I knew many of these songs prior to that point of my life, in 1966 I was what? I was 8 years old or something like that. But the movie Born Free came out, and that was the first year I was aware that they gave awards for best song. You know, and so seeing this movie about this lion and another Andy Williams made it famous again on the radio. But Born Free, this is one that I don't think Born Free should have won, because you have Burt Bacharach's Alfie and then Tom Springfield's Georgie Girl.
Right. All good songs.
And both of them are far closer to the type of music we are starting to see or hear on the radio. On pop radio, and Born Free was not that at all. Before that, in 1965, Shadow of Your Smile, another wonderful film song that won, but also nominated was What's New Pussycat, Burt Bacharach and Hal David. You have to think, wow, you know, this is pretty cool. But you know, it's easy for me, and I think for you too. It's easy to go, you know, year by year by year by year, and start looking at all these films and get all real excited about the music and everything.
Indeed. I agree with you. You look back at the different years and you look at all the music that was nominated and you realize it was a wealth of music, period. And
yeah.
The winners were just the tip of the iceberg, because there were so many other songs that were wonderful. Like you had stopped at 66, but even 67 with Talk to the Animals, that was a popular song, and I remember that from Dr. Doolittle. But to me, the best song to me would have been The Look of Love, which was in Casino Royale. And I love that song. But then again, I know I looked at a lot of this music as to what I would probably be singing myself.
Well, you know, it's interesting with that, the Look of Love. That one was interesting because of who they got to sing it. Oh, come on. Help me out. Who sang it?
In the movie, you mean?
Yeah. For the movie.
Who was recorded? Wasn't that Dusty Springfield?
Yes, it was. Thank you. Frankly, if it wasn't for her singing it, that song probably wouldn't have done too well. But then again, this is Burt Bacharach again, who, just wrote some incredibly wonderful music. And how many times was he nominated now, Burt Bacharach? He was nominated 5 times and he won twice as a composer.
That's great.
But you know, the people who have the most nominations and the most wins. Johnny Mercer, again a marvelous composer from the days of yore, 40s, 50s, 60s.
Sammy
Kahn won. Yeah, 26 nominations, 4 wins. Johnny Mercer, 18 wins, 4 wins. You know, but then again, there's Alan Menken, you know, with 14 nominations and 4 wins. And what do we know him for? Well, we know him for The Little Mermaid and Beauty and the Beast and Aladdin and Pocahontas, you know, and The Shaggy Dog. You know, so he's, you know, he's Mr. You know, he's Mr. Mr. I write the Disney songs.
Yeah, Mr. Animation.
Yeah. And then, but you know, if you go down the list, I mean, Tim Rice has won 3 times for 5 nominations, and he's famous for a lot of things. A lot of you know, he helped write with Andrew Lloyd Webber Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat and Jesus Christ Superstar and Evita. This guy knows his stuff.
That's just amazing stuff right there.
Yeah,
it's crazy. Well, we're coming down toward the end of the show, Larry. So as we're talking about the different songs that we love, the different composers and lyricists that we liked and were definitely amazed by, and the different types of music, even the nominees themselves that were not winners, just all this wonderful music. Give me your top 2 songs that you think are your top 2 as far as the actual winners are concerned, and tell me what you think about the race this year.
Well,
we got about 2 minutes.
Okay, well, I'll be very brief on the top 2 songs because that's hard for me to do, and I think I'm gonna go to 1971 and the theme from Shaft.
Okay.
This is rare because it's rare to have a piece with the only singing in it, you know, is so limited, this Isaac Hayes thing. But I love Shaft. I always have. I thought it was perfect. And then I'd almost have to go with this is hard, you know, because I want to say about 5 different songs all at the same time.
Got less than a minute. So.
Yeah. I think I'm gonna go with When You Wish Upon a Star, as going back to that one in 1940. As far as this year goes, I, like you, am pushing for Glory, but I'm also, because of the documentary on Glenn Campbell and his song, I'm Not Gonna Miss You, I like that song as well, and there may be a small edge that Glenn Campbell might have because of what's going on in his life right now. So,
well, as for me, I think 1940s, When You Wish Upon a Star from the movie Pinocchio, and my other one is going to be The Way We Were from the movie The Way We Were with Barbara Streisand and Robert Redford, and as I stated earlier in the show, I'm pushing for Glory. I've listened to that song over and over and over again, and I don't know, it might edge out the other 2 that I have as favorites to be my favorite, I think. If for no other reason, not just the song itself, but what the song says and what it means. So those are our songs, ladies and gentlemen. Sorry, we're going to have to find another way to get more time on our show, because I think Larry and I probably could have talked forever about this stuff. This is one of our favorite subjects. Thank you for joining us here at A Real Point of View. Check us out at A Real Movie Guy. If you have any questions or comments, just leave them and tweet it to me. And we'll see you guys next time here on A Real Point of View on Blog Talk Radio. Have a good night, everybody.